This is an interview with Ian Taylor, 20th of May 2020 at 1500. I'm interviewing Ian Taylor, ex-Submariner and Sisypher, this afternoon, and I'd like to welcome Ian to the microphone. Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
Good, Tor. How are you?
Terrific. To start off, let's talk a little bit about, where you were born and you grew up and the schooling. So we'll go right back to the start if we could.
Yes, I was born on the 16th of January 1938 at Croydon Private Hospital, Gundagai, the ninth child or fifth son of Elsie Mary and James Charles Taylor.
Wonderful. You lived in that area most of your life and went to school down that part of the world?
Now, I went to, Mum and Dad, being the ninth child, the farm was a little bit small. We moved to Cootamundra.
Uh-huh.
And when I was 6 months old, and lived there most of my life.
Beautiful little town. Beautiful town.
Yes, so, certainly yes.
So how did you come to join the Navy, living sort of inland as you were? What attracted you to the Navy?
Well, I applied initially to join the Air Force. I'd done National Service Training at Buckapunta in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to join the Army, so I applied to join the Air Force and went to a trade test in Sydney. I spoke to a corporal there. He'd been a corporal for 14 years and waiting to be made sergeant still. So I failed my practical exam in Sydney and failed the theory exam.
Right.
Deliberately, because I didn't want to go into the Air Force under those conditions.
Right, right.
But they did offer me admittance to the Air Force. The flight lieutenant, I think it was, engineer, said, you can still get in the Air Force if you want it. I said, no, I'm right, thank you. I even got a letter from them a couple of weeks later. But I applied to join the Navy, speaking to a mate whose uncle, I think, was in the Navy during the war, and he was an artificer and said it was great. So I thought I'll give that a go.
So what year was that, Ian?
That was in 1958.
Oh, okay, all right. So I guess you went and did your initial training and then to sea from there?
Yeah, 9 months at Cerberus. Mm-hmm. Only do a month's recruit training because I'd just come out of National Service.
Right.
In the Army. And, I had a party. There were 215, body classes of petty officers, petty officer leadership course. We had a party and, had a few drinks in the PO's mess that night up in the sleeping quarters. And lo and behold, a duty lieutenant commander walked in and, out of the 30 blokes, I was the only one running. I was put in cells for the night.
Really?
The reason for that was, I think, is that he was president of the local cricket club, like in Cerberus, and I was playing opening cricket before I joined the Navy, and he asked me to join. I said, no, I'm too busy studying, sir.
Uh-huh.
And he just happened to be duty that night. He was Royal Navy as well.
Oh.
So.
Three strikes and you're out, eh?
Yeah.
So after your initial training, Ian, I guess you went to a trade school and then to sea?
No, I'd already served an apprenticeship.
Oh, okay.
Apprenticeship.
Right, so you went straight to sea after service.
HMAS Warramunga.
Right.
Got all my tickets there, auxiliary machinery tickets, boiler ticket and engine room watchkeeping certificate.
Okay, so what was it that attracted you to submarines particularly?
I was on five different ships, then I was posted to Cerberus Engineering School. I was put in the instruction, teaching leading stokers. I finally got through them all right. There was only one slight incident. A bloke got 47% average in the course, and he wanted to get mechanicians training, but you had to have 75%. I refused him. And the padre came in and a few other officers, and he'd done the course. It was for 2 years, and he remained a petty officer for another 7 years. then, we just wanted to join the Navy, join submarines. They come up and they were running short. Yep. Volunteers. So I applied for it, drove down to Sydney for the medical, failed it because I drove, 1,000 kilometres and had an earache with the door window open driving down.
Oh, okay.
I drove back again. and the commander of engineering said, right, you're going down again, you booked on a plane, I've got a car to take you into the airport, and we'll be there to pick you up in a week's time. So I thought, yeah, wow, this is great. And the one that was doing the interviews in Sydney, I'd done the test again. What is your wife thinking you join it? I said, I'm single. What are your parents thinking you joining the submarines? I said, I'm 24 years of age. He looked at me and said, oh, could you just wait outside for a second? So I did, went out for 2 minutes, come back in again. And he said, right, you're accepted for submarines. I said, thank you very much. I said, you've done the same interview with me 5 years ago to join the Navy. He said, no, I didn't. I said, yes, you bloody well did. And I walked out.
So what year was that, Ian, roughly, when you...
That was in 1964.
Oh, okay.
1964.
Okay. So you went to UK, I take it, and did your basics over there?
In May 1964, June 1964, went over to Dolphin, done a course there, then was posted up to Scotland, and was put on to HMS Ocelot.
Okay.
By the regulating chief tiff up there.
Right. So what was your experience, with submarine qualification training? How did you feel? Was it?
I felt great. Now, the submarine course that we done in Dolphin, there were 14 of us, 6 Poms and 8 Aussies. The 6 Poms come 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. And then the Aussies were 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
We had a lovely RM chief, the RA instructor, yes.
Right. So were you broken up there by rank and classification or just... general, was it all the RAs in your group, or
did you? Well, to just Scotland.
No, in your qualification training.
Oh, no, we were separated. We'd only come a bit of sea time. In fact, never quote me on this, the first submarine training we done was on an A-base, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was in the control room on the after planes. The next minute, the officer of the watch is blasting shit out of me. And I didn't know why. When I finished, went to the GCPA's mess, and I said, then what happened? What did I do wrong out there? And they said, nothing, mate, nothing. He said, that's RAN, a lieutenant. It was the bloke that made the vice admiral.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. So Ocelot was your first submarine. What was that like, joining your first submarine as crew?
It was very, very good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. We had 3 different captains in the 18 months I was on there, because we had trips up to the Barents Sea, which was unofficial spying, it was, on the Russian Navy base. We were up there for about 4 or 5 weeks, submerged all the time, except for up to snort, to charge the batteries. After the first trip up there, we went to Oslo for a break, for a week, and after the second one, we went to Stockholm for another week.
So there were exciting times, I guess, for you. So you were in the UK for a few years, would it be, Ian, doing this sort of thing?
For 2 years.
Yep.
And then in April 66, I flew home at my own expense for 6 weeks holidays, back again, and was posted to Otway, new ship Otway.
Okay, that was your first Australian submarine.
Yeah, yep.
Right, okay. So it was a pretty exciting time, I guess, for you overall in the UK. And, you know, had you not been there before, and did you enjoy your time in UK and with the RN?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was over there in 1962.
Right.
Pre-supplier.
Right. Oh, okay. So you had been in there before.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the best part about it, mate, was I met the woman that I've been married to for 53 years.
And that's still true. Now, where did you meet her?
In Greenock.
Right. So that was when the Otway was building, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, excellent. So she was working in the dockyard, yep, perhaps, or?
Oh, yeah, she was a nurse, qualified nurse doing her midwifery exams.
Ah, okay. So you, but she wasn't in the dockyard or involved with the dockyard?
Well, no. Her father was the senior police sergeant.
Oh, so you'd have watched your P's and Q's there, right?
Yes, oh, definitely.
So where did you meet, at a dance or something? Or a...
At a dance, yeah. Not that I danced, just met her there.
Okay. Like a lot of us, I think we only had one or two that could dance properly.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that was an exciting time, but just since you left the Navy, when did you leave the Navy in?
1978.
Right. What have you been up to since then? What happened after you left the Navy?
Well, the reason I left in 1978 was I was going to be promoted, get my warrant, in January 78. I've still got the signal from Navy office with that in it. And I said to Woolley, I said, I gave him a form to receive my warrant. He said, I'll let you know, Chief. So the next day he said, no, it's not happening. That was all I ever heard. Nothing about why or anything.
Okay.
And that's when I applied for discharge.
Right. So after you left the Navy, you went back down to Cootamundra way, I guess?
Wagga.
In the Wagga, yep.
Yeah, I worked at the meatworks there.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, to be settling and all that.
Yep.
I was there for 12 months, then I went to the base hospital as a boiler attendant maintenance officer. Then after that, I got promoted to engineer grade 2
and
in the health system.
You've been down there more or less ever since, eh?
I spent 20 years there, yeah.
Right. So what do you do with your spare time, Ian? What's your interests now?
Doing as I'm told.
And doing interviews, I guess.
Yeah. No, we're just, you know, at 82, mate, retired. It's,
yes.
I'm not being able to travel anywhere.
Right.
At the moment.
It can be a bit difficult.
Yeah.
Well, Ian, look, you've had a pretty exciting sort of life and generally with submarines and so on. And firstly, let me thank you for your service, but also thank you for your time this afternoon in this interview.